I thought about singing that song, what's going to happen to us. One of these days the Lord's going to tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, step aside. My Gentile dogs are coming up. That's going to come up. I said Gentile dog. That's what we are. We're Gentile dog. Woo hoo! You know. And we're going home one day. And I hope it's today. I want to go home. But until then, I ain't going to whine about it. We're going to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. So, you know, two cars hit me about 40 miles an hour. I was standing in my car, sitting in the car, cut off, and I stopped, and they plowed in the back of me, and that tore up my spine. And it took me to the ambulance. It's black with the ambulance. And so I went in the ambulance and got out of there. And so long story short, they had to have a surgery, and oh, help us, we got something else. Messing with the original autographs up here. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, Bun, look at that Bun hairdo, man. Look at that dude. All these guys going to PBI look like GQ up here, man. Look at them. They all got their blue shoes with their tan shoes, man. They are so cool looking. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's a lot better. Thank you, thank you. I think they're on Sha-na-na. Boom, 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 get a job. The Bowser, you know, and so... You should have seen me when I got saved. I had on I had a pair of bright green pinstripe slacks with white Temptation shoes, with an orange silk Tom Jones shirt on, and I had a white hat, and I was sitting. Now, we didn't call the PBI. We're at Brent Baptist Church, and Doc was up there teaching. He kept looking back at this table, but I just got in from Detroit. I'm over there looking around, you know, and I was 17, 18 years old, and he kept licking his lip. He said, "What is that back there?" That's Jack Patterson from Detroit, and he said some other things I won't say, and so I liked him. I liked him first time I met him, and I got saved about 3 months later, went home to Detroit, got put in jail, and in that jail cell, in Bobian County Jail, I got out and called Ma. I said, "Ma, I'm going back to that church in Florida, Brent, and I'm going to go back down there with my brother John. He's going to school," and I got down there, and 2 weeks later, I got saved. Doc do something on three crosses, and he talked about that thief in the middle. I know he was gunning for me. I took it, and I got it. I got in. Never doubted my salvation. And in about 3 weeks, I threw away my cigarettes, making donuts at a Dunkin' Donut, making donut Krispy Kreme there, you know. And dumb, you know. And so I still remember the songs, and so... you're not 1,000 miles away. All that stuff, you know. And so my brother did background with Isaac Hayes, Hot Butter Soul, and Motown, and the new Barry Gordy, David Ruffin. He knew all those guys. And so, but I got saved. And every night I'd come home, and I would listen to a guy named Bob Jones Sr., 11 o'clock. And he'd go on to 11:30. And then at 11:30 every night, and now from Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program. One sat alone, be on the highway begging. And I'd just sit there and start crying. I said, "Lord, I sure like to meet that guy one day." And one day in class, Dr. Ring, "Oh, we're going to have a guy come into town here now, and Lester Rolla." I just let my eyes fell out of my head. I just, my first year, and then... I said, "It's 100 miles away," and so about 60 of us from Brent Baptist Church, Rick Sowell, Lonnie Taylor, we all drove down together in the car, and I wouldn't even wait. I had to go to the bathroom. I put a sign on my seat that said, "Don't even think about it." That's Detroit for saying, "Don't touch my seat, sucker," and I'll slap you in Jesus' name. And but I weighed about 190 back then. My left leg weighs that much now, and so... But I've lost a little weight. I lost about 70 pounds. I'm going to take off another 50 pounds. If you don't like the way you look, change it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere, I guess. And so, but no, I'm going to get off my diabetes pills. I'm getting off that junk, man. And so, but I got a problem with my elbow. Every time it bends, my mouth opens. I don't know what it is. I'm working on that, you know. Brother Ryman's arm sharp a long time ago. Look, he got to jump around the shower and get whipped. And the two Germans put me in the fight. Pete Ruckman and Lester Roloff. And so I thank God the Brother Wolf's gone. Now the home's still there, but they're a different direction. A guy asked me to come down and preach for him, give him some ideas. And some of them, "Oh, don't go down there, don't go." I said, "Yeah, I'm going down there. I'm going to go down there and help him."
Amen.
Get down there and help him.
Yep.
A little different stripe, you know, they're doing things. Don't try to correct it. Go down and help. If you can't help, don't hurt.
Yeah. Amen.
If you can't help them, don't hurt them.
That's good.
And I was going to add Joan Baez to sing today. That little girl got a voice on her right there, but not yet. I won't scare you to death. And 2 Samuel chapter 8, I better hurry up. He's only giving me 30 minutes to preach. Good night. I can't even tell jokes that much. One friend of mine told me, I asked him, I said, how y'all doing? He said, oh, he said, my wife can't take any joke. I said, yeah, she took you. That's what she did. And so, you know, you kind of get those things, you know. So, but I'll be 68 years old in a month, 2 months. And I got in and I got preaching when I was 18 years old, 50 years already. Where did it go? From camp meetings. I remember the first time I went to camp meeting. They scared the daylights out of me down south. But Dr. Ruckman took us to a bunch of windsuckers. I'm going to tell you the Bible. I said, good night, man. I said, get me away from these freaks, man. You know, and because they read your mail, that's what I didn't like. Amen. And, man, my dad grew up at Hoffa and all that. I met Mr. Hoffa when I was 5 and 6 years old. He fed us in Jeffrey's project for about 3 years, a ham, and sent us to the, we had 10 kids and so forth. My dad worked for him. So what'd your dad do? I asked him one time, I said, what'd you do for Mr. Hoffa? He had polio. He said, I had to carry a brown bag. He said, what's in the bag? None of your business, boy. None of your business. And, but my dad got saved at Temple Baptist Church. He died singing when the rollers call up yonder, I'll be there. That's that power of the gospel. And so I don't know what your burden is today, but it's your opportunity to show God how much you love him. And don't complain. One of my dearest friends may get arrested today, Jack Treber. I know him well. I got a young man that pulled out of a mental ward, used to be a gangster, or biker with gypsy jokers and Hell's Angels, Evan Sprague. Brother Treber called him this morning. He said, I want you to come to my office. If I go to jail, I want you with me. I want you to walk me off the jail. Isn't that something? I was at the Intercoastal many years ago, and I got a call. Said, Brother Olaf's calling. He wants to talk to you on the phone. I said, hey, preacher, how you doing? He said, well, Jack, he said, they're coming after me today, son. I want you with me when I walk into that cell. I said, yes, sir, I'll be there. I left there about 5 in the morning. Took the guys up to Corpus where I lived on the island. And sure enough, he went to jail, and I walked him out. And then he had to go back into jail. He called me up again. Jack, come see me in jail. I said, when are you going to get out of jail and quit messing around? And he said, well, I don't know. I'll be in here for about another month. And he said, but bring me about 20 cases of oranges. I said, well, how am I going to get 20 cases of oranges in the county jail? I'm Brother Roloff. Don't you worry about it. I said, all right, sure enough. I didn't know that he led the sheriff to Christ, the tank boss to Christ, the undersheriff to Christ. When I walked in, Brother Roloff's waiting on you. I walk in the jail cell, Brother Ryman. He's on top of a picnic bench with his pant leg rolled up, preaching the Bible on a radio broadcast. Well, welcome to the Corpus Christi County Jail. This is Brother Roloff. We're having a broadcast today. Hey, come on, amen. He's up there preaching. He's up there preaching, man. I got to crying. The inmates are all crying. And half of them came with him when he got out, man. I said, don't bring 15 guys to the county jail at one time. They'll go nuts. But that's how we did. That's how we made it. And when he died, those homes were full to capacity and open. And he went down on his birthday, on election day, November 2nd, 1982. That's when he went home to glory. We'll see him one day. But I'm going to preach to you about something near to my heart. I'm going to talk to you quickly about this morning about what Absalom never heard what his father said about him. We hear a lot about Absalom, how bad he was and the wicked and so forth. Absalom messed around with under the tents of the king. But I wonder what's went on in the tents of our own wickedness. Sometimes we look at stories in the Bible and we exclude ourselves because we got that eternal security of the believer. He didn't have that back in the Old Testament. He didn't have the seal of the Holy Ghost. And so what happened is David gets all these men together, and he tells them, especially Joab. Every church has got a Joab in it. That sucker wants to kill everybody. Hello, nod your head. And I see the halo on your head. And Joab wants to kill everybody and so forth, but that wasn't his job. That's the king's job. I'm over here in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 5. And I'm going to read about this. I'm just going to read a little bit, and I'll preach at you a while. I'm going to go to the house, and I'm going to get on the road. I got to be in Virginia tonight, and I'll be at the ranch sometime Monday. And so over here, here it is, verse 1. Let's go to 2 Samuel 18:1. Now, I talk fast. You have to listen fast, okay? I talk fast, drive fast, eat fast, but I sleep slow. I sleep. I get down when I sleep. All right, amen. 2 Samuel 18, 1. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains in thousands and captains in hundreds over them. It's the job of the preacher or the man what's going on knows who's there. Yeah. Number the people. Nothing wrong with that. Now, there's some times he shouldn't have done it. But as Brother Ryman said this morning, thank God for a full house. It beats an empty house. Yeah. And I know a lot of you, but I don't know your burdens. I stay out of other men's matters. Yeah. I wish some preachers learned that verse. I didn't come here to get in your business. Amen. Boy, that's supposed to have been an amen right there. Yeah. So I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you're going through, you're going to come out of it. Yeah. Just hang in there, yeah. Okay? And David went forth the third part of the people under the hand of Joab. Joab is okay as long as it's in front of David. Can your preacher trust you when you're out of his sight? That's worth $20 right there, okay? 25. And David sent forth a third part of the people in his hand of Joab, and another hand, the hand of Abishai, and the son of Zariah, Joab's brother, and the third part of them hand of Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. Now watch what he's going to say here. And the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, let's flee away, we're not, neither half of us died. They don't want to go off the battle, but now thou art worth more than 1,000 of us, therefore it is better that thou secure us out of the city. Verse 4, and the king said unto them, what seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate, the gate side, and all the people came by the hundreds and thousands. And the watch verse 5. Just one more. I'm going to speak to you very briefly, and I'll give it back to the pastor. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Attai. He's talking to them. He's going to give them a message. Don't you listen to me. Absalom never heard what his father said about him because they killed him. There's a picture of God the Father, what he does to the sinner. Look at verse 5. And the king commanded, when you broke a king commandment, you're worthy of death. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Attai, saying, deal gently for my sake. For my sake. King James 16:11. In the church age. Okay. Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. And you know the story, I'll go into it. The other part of the chapter where he's hung and caught in a tree. And the Bible says 10 men took him out. And they killed him and buried him in Absalom's place. I'm going to speak to you just a little bit here this morning on the subject, the unknown command. The unknown command. David gave a command. And they didn't do it. Father, thank you for the Bible today. Help me be a blessing to your people. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. It's been a joy to be here I came to get a drink of water myself, Lord. And I didn't get a drink. I got a gallon. I pray that you'll bless us, Lord, in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I wish I had time to say hi to everybody. And, of course, I always love the pastor's kids. Well, most of them. I love them all. I see my man Josh back. I can still remember Josh in his white pants, you know, around here with his white belt. But he was a blessing and so forth. Now some of you guys in here that had a rough life, don't think just because I'm up here with a high twang voice, think I'm a wimp. No, I grew up in the street gangs of Detroit. I grew up in the projects. You never put your hands on me. I changed your life in Jesus' name. Okay, but we ran gangs and so forth. I tried to steal a train one time. I couldn't get it moving, but we robbed them a lot. We took the tires, the batteries, and the radio, put them in the weeds and threw them out there, and 5 minutes later we'd come back and get them and sell them at my gas station on the midnight shift. And you know what's on the midnight shift? The cockroaches come out at nighttime, you know. But I know I grew up, I tell people I grew up in the South. Yeah, you're from Alabama? No, I'm from Southwest Detroit, man. But I've been all over that place. I've been there, and I'll be 68. And I still go on them streets, and guys still look at me. So, Jack, I can't remember this. I can't even believe that's the same Jack Patterson I knew on the streets. I said, yeah, that's me, man. And they said, what happened to you? I said, oh, you got a hold of me. Amen. I said, you got a hold of me and shed his blood for me and died for me. Oh, you're gonna preach to me right now, you know. And some of the guys used to beat me up when I was in third grade. I was at McDonald's one time. I'd just come back from my Bible school down in Pensacola. And this guy used to sucker punch me and take my money at the ice skating rink. And we're all about 9, 10, 11 years old. We're about the same size. Well, he stayed about the same size. I didn't. He was about 5'1", 5'2". I went to 5'9", 5'10", 6 foot. Hey, I got a 5'5", hey, gave me 5. I went to 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'9". I'm in McDonald's with my sister, and I see that little sucker. He said, hey, man, don't I know you? He said, yeah, you and Mario together. You used to whoop my tail in third grade. Yeah. It's like he melted right there at the McDonald's counter, you know. I was talking to my sister about that time. They ran out that door. I'd never seen him since. I was going to witness to the guy, you know. Yeah. But then what happened to the Lamb of God came inside this dog. Yeah. And then God made me a sheep. How do you figure all that stuff out? Hey! But one day I got reading my Bible and how to deal with people. I work with broken people all my life. Probably about 5,000 people come through my door. And say, what's your success rate? I have enough victories to keep me encouraged, yeah, amen. But I have enough failures to keep me humble.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's good.
I never give up on anybody. I don't care. If you're breathing, you're reachable. Hey, I don't care what you're going through this morning. There's a king. He said, when you see Absalom, deal gently with him for my sake.
Yeah.
See, you don't know the heart of Pastor Ryman. And he'll say, leave him alone. Leave her alone. He's trying to buy some time. You don't know the heart of Pastor Mike. Boy, I was a good Sunday school lesson. I told him, I said, Mike, something happened to you. You're getting nice. You're getting sweet, man. Your wife must be writing your sermons or something, you know. And so, but, hey, I tell you what, this life will beat you down. That's worth $5, amen. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, I have a rough time sometimes. I want to cut their heads off just like you do, but I'm commanded by the king. Deal gently with them for my sake. Deal gently with them. I didn't say let them off the hook. I said deal gently with them.
Yeah.
I got to watch my air capacity. My lungs is operation, cuts my air off, and I can't hold it. I wanted to sing Ship Ahoy. And my nephew got mad at me one time. I told some girls, he was about 14 years old, y'all stay away from that boy. He's got AIDS. And so he got me back one day at PBI. He didn't sing Ship Ahoy. He sang Chips Ahoy. Amen. So yeah, he got me. I told boy, that boy, come on. I went with him to court. I went to Dallas, Texas, went with my old nephew. And you can't help your own family. You're hurting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's who you got to love the most, though.
Yeah.
It hurts when it's inside the house.
Yeah.
My nephew beat a guy going with a bat, and they're going to put him in prison. I went down to Texas with him, and he didn't tell me that until he got arrested. I forgot to tell you, I beat a guy with a bat. Gee, Wally. And and I go in the courtroom, and I slip the judge a 3x5 card. So here, I'm Brother Patterson. I used to work for Lester Roloff. I knew Texas judges like Lester Roloff. This back in the 90s. And the judge, I look at the judge, he was packing a .45 under his coat at the bench. I said, I like this guy. And he looked up and said, where's John Patterson? Stand on your feet. Where's Jack Parsons? Right here, Your Honor. He said, look, this. John, did you beat this guy with a bat? I said, speak up. Yes, sir. Say no, yes, sir, no, sir. He wanted to say, uh-huh. I said, no. I said, yes, sir, no, sir, boy. I'll leave you right here. And so he got in there, and the judge said, I'll tell you what I do. I'll give you 2 years with your uncle. I love it. And 20 years probation. And he looks at the judge. I got to stay 2 more years with my uncle. He said, you want to come to my prison? I said, you better take the deal. You're going to be talking to Big Rufus. And he took the deal, amen. And he graduated, went PBI, graduated, and he said, man, I want to be a paratrooper. I said, you want to jump on a plane? He went there 2 years in Afghan, did 2 years in the Army, got out, got his life focused up. That's been 22 years ago.
Amen.
You know, how do you help guys like that? You got to deal gently with them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir.
For his sake. Man, sometimes I look at some of these scuzz walls, I don't want to help them. I know I'm not a spiritual, some of y'all.
Yeah.
When you get in there and get these guys and see it, and all of a sudden they get, man, would you help me get my life straightened out? That boy, young man right here, he's a good guy. Then if I have a guy with me, you can trust me. He's okay.
Yeah.
You trust him around you. I don't take pedophiles. You know, I told my wife one time, I said, hey, honey, I need to get a pedophile. She said, a what? I said, I need to get a pedophile on my feet. I got my words mixed up. She says, you need a pedicure. That's what you need. I said, yeah, I'll kill a pedophile. That really happened. Well, how do you help these guys, preacher? I don't cut their heads off. I try to buy time for them. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You think your life is all washed up. You made some mistakes. You got your, and by the way, how do you handle your past? Whatever your past might have been, your future is still spotless. Amen. It ain't got here yet. Yep. It's here. And you get some help. I didn't do too bad. I still ain't over yet. My wife, she said, you're going to open this whole place back up. I said, if I don't sell that property, I got to go back to work. And she said, oh, my goodness. And she down there with the grandkids. My mama getting around them grandkids now. She wants to enjoy herself. Yeah. I said, well, honey, I got to catch these 100 calls a month coming in. Would you help my son? Would you help my dad? I had a guy the other day call me, 77 years old on crack. I said, man, you don't need a men's home. You need a nursing home.
Yeah.
Somebody need to hit you upside the head with a bedpan.
Yeah. Amen.
Wear that sucker around a little bit. 77 years old. Ain't got no character to say no. I'm rough on them druggies now. I'm rough on them. I'll take all of them. I take all of them suckers. Take them all in there. And I love them. I get them to Calvary.
Amen.
How do you help them, preacher? I feed them good, number one. You want to get a guy off drugs, you got to feed them. Don't feed them SpaghettiOs. Look like dead maggots moving together. You got to feed them some biscuits and gravy. Come on, ladies. Pillsbury. Hey, come on. I feel the power of God coming in here this morning. You want to help a man, you got to feed him some good food. Amen, led the rhyming. Amen. And I try to help some of the roughest people and get in there, and I've been threatened and hit at and so forth. I told one guy, I said, what happened if I hit you? I said, you won't hit nobody else. You won't hit nobody else. I'll find something. I'll beat you with a bedpan. I'll do something with you in Jesus' name. That makes it legal. Amen. And you'd be surprised how the prostitutes and the pimps protect me on the streets when I'm in Detroit. I get along better than I do Baptists. Well, what are you doing in my neighborhood? This is my neighborhood. Why don't you clean it up? You know, and I go out there and try to pass out food and everything else and trying to get them in there and get them out of jail. And I do that in Atlanta. I do that all over the country. I don't need a spot. Hey, there's a country. Have at it. I've been down to L.A. I've been down there. It's a joke, man. All like the preacher said, it's an epidemic out here. Why? They don't like that guy in the White House because he's protecting that Jew over there in Israel.
Yeah.
That's why he gave him the first capital in 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Never had no war. Nothing ever happened. I will bless thee that bless thee, and I'm going to curse thee that curse thee.
Yep.
But when I get the guys and girls in, I try to get all of them, and I try to help them. I gotta treat them gently for the king's sake.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I don't want to treat them right. I've never hurt nobody. Never stole no money.
Amen.
I don't take a salary. I pay my own bills.
Yeah.
Jack took money from the ranch. Get a life. I got to pay most of the mortgage out and fix this. You see my van I'm driving, a 91 with 400,000 miles on it? Because my other car got 300,000 because I don't want no payments right now. I can't afford a payment, so I ride what God gives me.
Amen.
Now you win the lottery, talk to me. Amen.
Yeah.
My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Amen. After he gets his cut. Amen. And Miss Linda. Amen. I got a call from Brother Grady one day, and he said, I want you to go win my dad. I said, Bill, you guys ain't fighting, are you? Don't you set me up, man. You know, most people want you to go witness somebody, but you got them mad at you, so you're sending somebody else. Hello.
Yeah.
And so use your head, a woodpecker does. And I go to see Bill. Now, see, Bill's dad's white. He can't be in the mob being white. You got to be a Sicilian or Italian. I grew up with all that stuff. And I'll be with a guy in a couple weeks up in New York. I'm going to go eat at a mob restaurant. And this was Gotti's former bookkeeper. And he's Italian. He's got a name about that long. I don't know how to say it. I just call him Joe D. Joe T. helping the Antonio de Leon. And he said, all these guys in here are family. He said, you're okay. You're with me. And so I know those guys. You know how to act, how to behave yourself, cover yourself. But Bill's daddy was a mob connector. He did things with the mob. They were a connector. They can't be in the mob being white.
Yeah.
I go to knock on his door, and Bill asked me to go see his dad. He said, my dad likes those Kaiser rolls and that stuff from New York, but Bill forgot to give me money. He ain't changed in 40 years. I used to work we used to make tanks at the M60 tank factory. I'd say, hey, man, you buy me a cup of coffee? I'm still buying him a cup of coffee all these years. Tell him I said so. And he's a dear friend when he's sleeping. And I went and knocked on Brother Grady's door over here in Townsend, Delaware, the dad, brother, Mr. Grady. And he opened the door and said, yeah, what do you want? Oh, it sounded like your son. And I looked over there and I saw his invalid. I have an invalid sister. She's never walked. She can't hardly talk. She's 95% muscular dystrophy. And I go see her in football season. She'll call me up. Hey, Jakey, bring me a pizza. And I want it loaded. And she wants it loaded. And maybe Jack's got a soft heart, maybe because God put a handicapped sister in his family. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know nothing about me. How God will keep your heart tender. I go see her and say, would you sit right next to me? And I said, and she got to, handicapped people are strong. Yeah. Racks me over there. And she said, she'll look at the box. It better be loaded. She's 75 years old, still bossing me around. I'm Dr. Patterson. Come on, again. Said, you're my baby brother. Get over here. And you ain't leaving. She said, you ain't leaving till after the game. Don't fall asleep either. And so she wins every time. And so I go see Brother Grady, and right behind Brother John Grady is a little invalid girl who weighs about 45 pounds. And I said, who's that little girl? And his daddy was mouthing off and trying to be mean. He grew up Frank Sinatra, Jimmy Dean, all those guys in Hollywood. He knew them all in New York City and so forth. He's still dressed up like James Cagney. Yeah, what do you want? Open the door, you know. And but when I mentioned that little girl's heart, I saw tears in his eyes. You see, everybody has a soft spot. I don't care how tough you are. You got a soft spot somewhere. Yeah, and God knows how to push that button. I walked in there and gave him some sandwiches, and he kept watching me how I was making over that little girl. But no, she just, her eyes never talk, never walk. They don't teach you that in Bible school. That's on-the-job training.
Yeah.
Whatever your burden is today, it's your opportunity to show God how much you love him. Amen. That's how to fall apart and run your mouth.
That's right.
Amen. And getting even and getting a vendetta. When you find my boy, deal gently with him. Deal gently with him for my sake. I protected you. I fed you. I built you cities. Take care of my boy. But there was one warrior there named Joab. He remembered some barley fields. He killed him, had him killed. Are you hurting people today? Are you hurting Christians today? Because maybe the way someone's treated you. Yeah, let that stuff go. Yeah, let it go. After five, long story short, after five visits with John Grady, he calls me up. I was up in New York. I was the field rep for Dr. Howes many years ago. But he'd pay me to run all day. But nighttime, I'd go to rescue missions, go preach on the streets and help people. And I did that for 10 years. And finally, I started the ranch. I went out west. Somebody gave me an Air Force base. You see, God always gives people something to do that they're ready to do something. God can't, Billy Sanders says, God can't use lazy people.
Amen.
You, some of you are sitting here just going, well, I wish I had what you had. You willing to pay the price?
Yeah.
I wish I had what Brother Ryman, you don't know the weeping. When Joseph came back, when his brothers came back, the Bible said Joseph went in the other room and wept.
Yes,
and wept. A lot of times there's a lot of weeping behind the roughness. In the back room where no one can see you.
That's right.
Joseph was weeping because of his brother's hurts.
Yeah.
Last time you hurt because of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why'd you hear about so-and-so? You hear about, shut up. Hear about so-and-so? She ran up. Hear about, did you weep for the kids?
Yeah.
Did you weep for the kids?
Yeah.
Did you weep for the grandparents?
Yeah.
Getting quiet this morning.
Amen.
God loved you, God forgave you, and he puts an amazing story in the Bible about Absalom. He never heard the message, what David said. And I guarantee you, I tell you, David's voice must have been broken up because of how great David was. God beat him down. is I'm going to get your grandson. I'm going to get your kid. I'm going to get your boy. I'm going to get you, David. I'm going to get you. And God got him finally. Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of that. When someone gets right, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Quit talking about them.
Yep.
Leave them alone. Do things for them. Pray for them. Hey, and I watch my guys like a hawk, man. I got you on radar. I'm like Red October. I'm watching you like a hawk for sound and everything. I'm looking for superlatives. I'm checking you out. But I said, God said, and the Lord said, he's all right. I needed a driver. God sent me this guy. I had his dad 20 years ago, and he kept trying to get life back together. His grandmother went to PBI back in 1970. She was 17. I was 18, and all of us back there in those young days and so forth. And now here we are almost 70 years old. And I get to stay in the ministry all these years. I just buried all my brothers. My brother Jimmy was a Vietnam vet, got the POW, and the 25th Infantry Wolfhounds rested his life in Vietnam. He said, what's the 25th Infantry Wolfhound? Those are the guys the Green Berets don't mess with. But they'd use them to go find POWs off the record in Vietnam. And they're over there too. They're probably in Russia tonight. Well, how do you do? I met celebrities, kid. I met a girl the other day. She was, I can't get his name out right, but he was a hitman for John Gotti. I had his granddaughter, never met her. I put her in a home, and they helped her. I did it all through a phone call. I called a judge the other day. A guy's going to prison. I called the judge's office. He said, how did you get my phone number? I said, Judge, I'm the man to talk to when your kids get in trouble. He said, well, go ahead. I'm listening to you. He said, I got to put this guy in prison. I said, he's the pastor's son. He's an idiot. He's stuck on stupid. I know that. Agree with that adversary quickly. That's Bible. Use your Bible. And I gave it to him. He said, where you at right now? I said, I'm in Alabama. I got to go up to Detroit. He said, what are you going to do up there? I got a house up there. I keep my wife up there for medical reasons and so forth. He said, send me a letter. Send me some evidence. I'll send you corporation papers. I got it all. He said, okay. He called me. His office called me back. He said, all right, I'll tell you what I want. I'll let this guy stay out of prison. I want him on probation for 5 years. I'll let you have him. He can go to Bible school, whatever. But if he gets in trouble, I'm calling you. I looked at him and sucker, you even squeak out loud, I'm coming after you, okay? I'm your thinking probation officer. You know what the God had to do? That boy graduated from Bible school. He's on the mission field tonight.
Amen.
He's in Hawaii with Magnum PI over there. Amen. He's over there. There's two places I want to preach, Hawaii and Alaska. I'm circling the field, the wheels are down. That guy, I got a guy from Joe Costa, fresh out of jail, Bruce Hunsacker. He come in. I said, Bruce, what do you do for a living? Oh, I build houses for a living. I said, I'm gonna send you to the Philippines to go help a little orphanage over there, and you help that orphanage out, and you're a builder. I'm going to send you over there, and I sent him up there at Ron Robinson up in Alaska, and Ron sent him over. We've got him over in the Philippines. He got over to the Philippines. He said, hey, Brother Jack, there's a Filipino girl I'm checking out. Never married. He's 45 years old and married her. On the honeymoon, they're going through the jungles in the Philippines, and he comes across four kids sleeping under some leaves. That's called home. That's called front room.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Yeah.
He looked at his wife. He says, why don't we start an orphanage over here? No deputation. No money.
Amen.
He called Joe Costa. Joe said, okay, we'll start a fund. Debbie Fortunato worked for Motion Pictures. She was Bob Militello's secretary at church, and she's his money lady now. I send her money and so forth. He said, Bruce Hunsack has been in the Philippines now 7 years with no support.
Wow.
And they're building an orphanage for the kids in the jungle that they throw away.
Amen.
Deal gently. Deal gently.
Amen.
Deal gently with the young man, Absalom. I can't finish the message, but for my sake. I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. You're going to come across people that you don't want to mess with. I want you to remember that phrase in the Bible. Deal gently with them for my sake. Some of you women got the gift of gab, but you never speak Christ. Some of you men are good at what you do, but you never do nothing for Christ on the streets. I used to see Dr. Ruckman. I'll finish with this. I see Dr. Ruckman. I'm not done, but I'm finished. I'm going to obey the pastor. He said 30 minutes. I used to see him on. I knew Dr. Ruckman when he was 45. He's still licking his lip back then. He told open it. And he used to make fun of my clothes all the time, you know, and I'll leave that alone. And, hey, where's that Detroit boy at? You know, he liked my brother. He liked my brother was E.C. Moore, right? But E.C. Moore was a good man, good show winner. He did a great mission work with NASCAR. Never told nobody. Led thousands of people to Christ at NASCAR. But long story short, I see Doc up there on street preaching. Hey, Patterson, what are you doing tonight? Well, whatever you want me to do, preacher. I said, what do you want? He said, I want you to come down the street. And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I'll tell you after class, man. And the guy after class, the guy was there, me, Rick Shaw, Lonnie Taylor, a bunch of us would get down there with him, you know, and the Robinsons and so forth. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to stand behind my back when I preach. Just stand there. What do you want me to do? He said, man, just stand there and watch the crowd, and it'll get to me. Oh, I could do that. He said, we'll go get a Whataburger after we eat. All right, we'll go do that too. And I was standing back there, and he's drawn, you know, and the crowd would get crazy. And you have to bear in mind, down on Palafox Creek, when I was there, there'd be 500 to 700 teenagers trying to find themselves. Five to 700. Jesus freak. They were in the 70s. Was crazy down there. And Doc had that big old light beamed up on them. We'd have about, sometimes there'd be five. And now when the Doc went, there'd be about 100, about 50, 100 kids come down there with him. But he wasn't there, three would show up. Hello, something wrong with that.
Yeah.
I went down there every night, just about every Friday night. When I graduated, I was still going down there. And looked out there one night, Brother Al, and you know what the Lord said to me? Well, Jack, you down here by yourself, had old navy pea coat on with a toboggan cap on about February. Didn't know how to dress. I dressed warm. And the Lord said, this is your crowd. This is your church. That's what you're going to do the rest of your life. Would you do it for me? Would you be gentle to them? Would you help them? We want to go do our thing and they want to act out, and nobody, you know, burnt me. Grow up. Grow up. I went in one night. I'll finish off with this, preacher. I was working Pacific Garden Mission my last year at Hiles Anderson. How many degrees you got? I got about seven. And about seven honorary degrees. I was in a courtroom, and a lady says, do you have an earned degree? I said, oh, yeah, I got a Bachelor of Science and a couple degrees there, and I got about seven honorary doctorate degrees. She said, well, that's not, I said, no, Martin Luther King has about 10 of them. And she said, excuse me. I said, Martin Luther King has 10 honorary degrees. She said, any other questions in the courtroom? He wouldn't answer me. And she went back inside, and the lawyer came back out and said, come here. And he said, the judge is going to let you have this guy. I said, what changed her mind? She said, she'd never been jolted before in the courtroom, but you jolted her today. You said the Martin Luther word, and she said, you tell the Reverend Touche. Okay, I got the guy, amen. And you know Martin Luther King used to preach the gospel. Jesse Jackson used to preach the gospel.
Yep.
E.V. Hill preached the gospel. Brother Howes and Lester Roloff knew E.V. Hill in South Central. He had a place called the Lord's Soup Kitchen. He loved Brother Roloff. Amen. But you change the gospel to get money off people.
Yeah.
Liberation theology. We don't believe in that. We believe that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day according to the scripture.
Amen.
I went in the mission one day, and there was a guy that was a cook that kicked him out named Claude Govia from Sicily. Now, let me give you a little idea about mafia people. You cannot be in the mob being white. You got to be Sicilian or Italian. He was from Sicily. He talked like, hey, Brother Jack, what you want me to fix you tonight for dinner? You want some spaghetti? I always talk with you. He couldn't talk with you. He tied his hands. And I said, so I went down to the kitchen, found out the guys were down, the brothers were down there, you know, and they're all there ripping the food off. And so I cleaned, but I looked on the board. They made me the director of the mission. I didn't know the kitchen was under Jack Patterson. Man, I got the keys ready. We were pulling off. I was giving food away to different missionaries. Preaching. Come on down to mission. I got about 20 ham. I'll give them to you. But I got a hold of Claude Govia. And I showed Claude. I said, Brother Wolf, I said, I got a cook here. And he said, where's he from? I said, he makes cakes and pies. And he said, where's he from? I said, he's from Sicily. He said, get him on the plane, click. He hung the phone up. And I said, are you going to buy the ticket? It already clicked. I mean, ching, ching, you're going to buy it. I got it. I sold some drugs and bought the ticket, you know, and I'm in Chicago, baby, Pacific Garden Mission. And long story short, Brother Wolf calls me back up in about 2 weeks. He said, where is that guy? I said, I flew him down there 2 weeks ago. I said, Brother Wolf, one of those homes has got him hid. And they're not going to tell you that they got him. And when you hear Ron Robinson, the little Ron Robinson, I know that sucker's hiding down in Pensacola. He's a mission, great missionary. Ron had captured him and put him in a nice dorm, and he didn't tell nobody else on those seven other homes on the property that they got a gourmet chef.
Yeah.
This sucker's making pies, he's making cookies, he's making everything. And I said, call Ron Robinson. He's got him stashed out there on the runway. Sure enough, he called me back. Yeah, Ron had him. He'd been there about 3 weeks. And I said, what do you want to do with him? I said, he's cooking for the governor of Texas. And Brother Wolf would land the plane on the intercoastal, and he'd shoot about 100 quail. He wasn't supposed to get about 10, but he'd get 100. I said, Brother Wolf, you can't shoot that many quail. I'm Brother Roloff. They don't care. I said, yeah, you let that game warden. He'll care. And I like you, Jack. You got a mouth on you. I like you. And I try to protect you, preacher. And long story short, Brother Wolf called me back. He said, man, that quail was the best quail I ever ate in my life. And the governor of Texas was fed by a wino at the Pacific Garden Mission that somebody spoke nice to, that somebody was kind to him, that was kind to him. You got trauma in your life. You got hurts in your life. You got financial difficulties. You got a lot of stuff pulling your mind. But don't you forget about what David said about his own son. When you find Absalom, the boy who did me wrong, the boy who did things under the tents of wickedness we won't go into, when you find him, would you deal gently with them for my sake? Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the Bible today. And Lord, we need a whole slew of people today that'll find some people and just be kind to them and just be gently to them. I know there's great soul winners in this room. I know there's great potential missionaries, but Lord, until they need to do something now, they need to find the Absaloms of life and to be gentle with them. Brother Ryman, God speaks to your heart about somebody. Come on, come on.
God spoke to your heart about anything. You come on down here, though. You can get around him right on the side. Get on the altar. God spoke to your heart about anything. Come on.
Maybe your husband. It may be your wife one day. You don't want somebody to go crazy.
Come on. You need to come. Come on. You're here today, you're not saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many are in the room can say, preacher, I know that if I died right now, I know where I'm going. Would you slip up your hand? All over the room. Amen. You couldn't do that. If you couldn't slip your hand up, my. You're in the right place at the right time. Somebody here can take a Bible, show you how you can make it. Get in. Get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're talking about gentleness. God deals with us so gentle. I know there's people in this room. How many times you've said, Lord, why do you even deal with me? Why do you even concerned about me? Why do you even love me? I know me. God knows me better. Why does he even put up with me? Because he cares. You're a king's son if you're saved. Joab there was a type of the devil. He's a type of the devil right there. Want to take him out. Take him out. You know what the devil wants to do you, child of God? He wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. He wants to throw things at you. You know, he threw darts, hit him. The Bible talks about in Ephesians, fiery darts of the wicked. Throw it at you. Take you out. Absalom's sin was rebellion. rebellion against the king. If you're rebelling against the king, God have mercy, man. We're all rebellious. But man, it's time to get the thing right. Get the thing right. Amen. Amen. Look this way. If you're not saved, don't leave this building this morning without knowing him. How many of y'all got something from that message this morning?